So right now, turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Deuteronomy or in your notes, chapter 4, and we'll be reading verses 23 through 25, and Barrick and Sarah Bates are going to come and there they are, read our scripture. Microphone has been moved to this side. Everything today, for those of us who confuse easily, has confused me because the order is different and the microphone's in a different spot. If you would, please stand with us out of honor and respect for God's word as Sarah and Barrick read our scripture for today again, Deuteronomy 4, 23 through 25.
Take heed to yourselves, let you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourself a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire and a jealous God. When you beget children and grown children and have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything, and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for reading. Give them a hand for them for reading our scripture. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good job. Great job. Thank you. You can be seated. I chose this passage of scripture because it has that wonderful phrase in there that our God is a consuming fire. He's a jealous God. And for me, as I understand this from Scripture, God is trying to communicate with his people that he expects for them to be fully devoted and committed to him, and we'll explain that some more in just a few moments. Now, inside of your notes, and I want you to follow along, for the past 7 weeks, we have taken the seven I am statements that Jesus said about who he was that are found in the Gospel of John. Today, we're wrapping it all up together in a nice, neat little package. And for me, I'm calling it the I am and the he me invitation. Because when you read in Scripture anything where God says, I am this, then I believe it's an invitation for us to agree with him or confess. Literally, the Greek word that we have for confess is homologeo. It means to say the same thing. So we are to agree with him and then personalize it for ourselves about what it means for us that since Jesus or God is these things. Now, if you follow along in the notes, as a consuming fire, Jesus destroys the dross and purifies the real thing. Now, Deuteronomy, we've got this picture of God as a consuming fire. He is leading the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt, and he's guiding them along the way for 40 years. He reveals himself to them in his presence through a cloud by day by night, and a pillar of cloud by night, and the opposite of that. Anyway, a pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. And he's leading the people in this consuming fire. And along the way, as they come to their enemies, God leads them to win the victory over their enemies. But yet he is purifying them more and more. Listen, key point. He is purifying them more and more to be in a relationship with him. Now, that is what he's doing in you and me as children of God. He is purifying us more and more as he is this consuming fire in which we are devoting ourselves more and more to him. He is seeking to destroy that which is not of him and draw closer to himself in a more pure way of that which is. People become consumed with different things, such as their work, hobbies, money. You can make a long list of things that oftentimes consume us or take up our attention, or we devote ourselves fully to and find ourselves engrossed in. When a person is confronted with the character of the holy, demanding, and jealous God, they are either pushed away or drawn in. So, as a consuming fire, God comes and reveals himself to people, and we're either drawn into him or we are pushed away and thus cast out or consumed in a negative way. Now, this is true for all of us. I don't know about you, but as I learn and see how God is a consuming fire, I want more of my life to be given to Him. He is taking up more and more of me. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard people make such a statement as this, is that when you tell somebody, here's what God is doing in my life, I am committed to Him, I am following Him, I tithe, I want to be fully surrendered and my whole life be devoted to God. And folks will say, well, you're a fanatic then. Well, they don't understand that what God has called us to is to be fully devoted to Him in everything. And a person that says, I am repulsed by that, then the consuming fire is pushing them away. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be connected to that. What are they saying? I don't want to give my life fully to God. I want to hold back. I want to keep part for myself. That's not the heart of a true follower of God. True follower of God says, I want more of me devoted to Him. Not less. I've never met a person who is a follower of Christ that says, by choice, I decide today that I want to be less committed and devoted to God. I believe that a person who is growing in their relationship with Christ says, I want there to be more of me given to Him and surrendered to Him. To know God in an intimate way is to be more and more drawn to Him. To know God in an intimate way that is ongoing and ongrowing is to be more and more drawn into Him. To truly know God is to be more and more consumed by Him. More and more I choose to surrender to Him. And Jesus is God and Jesus is the I Am. When Jesus uses that phrase in the New Testament, He is saying, I am Him. We go back over to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. It's in your notes. And Moses had been called by God. Remember the burning bush, the bush that was burned but not consumed. It was on fire. That's what God wants us to be, burning with Him but not consumed in a way of destruction, but in a way of greater purity and devotion. And Moses said, if I go to the people of Israel and into Egypt and I tell them who sent me, who am I going to tell them? God said to him, you say, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So when Jesus uses this phraseology, then all the Jewish people, which was primarily his audience, understood what he was saying. I am him. I am the one that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. I am Yahweh. I am the Messiah. I am Christ. Jesus is claiming to be God. Now with this, please understand, when I talk about the Bible is not just ancient literature. It's not just something for us to read and study for intellectual purposes. It is, listen carefully, the Bible is an ongoing invitation to ever-growing faith in God. It is an ongoing invitation to an ever-growing faith in God. Our faith should be growing. Our faith should be fresh as today. It should be growing every day as we read and encounter. To read Scripture is to encounter the living God who inspired the book. Through the Holy Spirit lives inside of you as a believer. So when you're reading it, there is an inside job being done, a miraculous thing going on in which we're growing and more be conformed to the likeness of Christ. When we encounter in Scripture who God is, we are confronted with the He, Me invitation. He is this, therefore I will. He is this, therefore I am, as I surrender myself and agree with Him about who He is. Now, for instance, when you think about this, you think about Psalm 23. The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's not just saying the Lord is a shepherd. He's saying the Lord is my shepherd. And you encounter this all through the 23rd Psalm. He is this, and He is this to me. And I find great comfort in that. And of course, it goes on from there, and it must be taken as the He is my shepherd, so He is the good shepherd. And what is that to me? He is all the things that are written in there that apply to me. So this morning, as we walk through quickly these seven I Am statements from John, I'm going to ask you to write down your response to who He is. So it is the He, me invitation. It is a personal opportunity for you to say, this is my response to what Jesus said or who Jesus said that He is. Now, my administrative assistant, Debbie Sloat, texts me this week and says, what do you want me to do with these blanks that you've got? You've got the whole statement underlined there. And I said, well, I want you to take that out. She said, don't you want me to just find one word to underline? I said, no, I want you to leave the whole thing blank because I want everybody here today to write down your response to who Jesus said He was. Because that is this ongoing invitation that God wants us to respond to. He comes to us and says, this is who I am. And we respond to say, okay, I surrender myself in this way. So here we go. First of all, the I am statements and your He, me response. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus was saying to His followers, I am the sustenance. I am the very essence of what you need to live. Here's what I have written. He is my provision, and I live by the words that come from Him. We know that we've got to have food to live, but Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So what is your response? What are you going to write there that when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, what are you going to write to say, yes, here's my response. Here's how I respond to this today, that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So take a moment right now to write a statement there that perhaps would even guide you through the rest of this day as you think about Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Now, it gets a little clearer as we walk through here. Because the next one Jesus said, as we looked at this 6 weeks ago, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I wrote down, He exposes sin in me so that I might repent and turn to Him. You know, when you read the Word of God, it is like this big floodlight that shines into your life, and you suddenly, everything looks different. Because you get to see yourself as you really are. And I believe when we read the scripture, what we do is we get to see God as He really is. And then as a result, see ourselves as we really are. I've been sharing with you a lot about Job lately. And one of the things that I've seen in Job is that the more Job and his friends went through the process of his suffering, and then God said, okay, Job, where were you when I did all these things? Where were you when I put the sun and moon? Where were you when I made all these animals and creatures? Where were you when I defined the place that the oceans would go and wouldn't go? Where were you? And then suddenly when we get to chapter 42, Job says, who was I? Who was I to say anything questioning you, God? And then he said, I repent, I turn away, I now see, because he saw himself as the wretch and the sinner that he was, and he saw God as glorious majesty He is. This is Jesus saying, I am the light. I am the one who shines the light so that you can see the reality of who you are and what you've done. And to me, it puts us... Can you imagine yourself bragging about how good you are and suddenly standing in the presence of Jesus? It doesn't fit. Because my understanding, when I'm standing in the presence of Jesus, my response will be, oh my God, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Exactly the response that Isaiah gave when he saw the Lord in the temple high and lifted up when King Uzziah died. I think when we really allow the light of Jesus to shine in our lives, we'll see us as we really are. So take a moment to write your response to Jesus being the light of the world. You know, every time you can personalize the name of God, probably the next time you get an opportunity to personalize it, it'll be different. Because He doesn't change, but we do. We understand more of Him, and the process of understanding more about Him, we understand more about ourselves. The next one that we looked at is Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. I wrote, he is the way out of what grips me that is not of him, and he is the way into that which is of him. I remember sharing this, is that Jesus came into the world so that he could come out of Israel and come out of sin for us and lead us into a relationship with him. But here's something that really has hit me lately, because I encounter this a lot. So listen carefully. I run into a lot of people who are stuck. Now, don't hear me being judgmental, because when I hear of people that are stuck, I realize quite often I'm the one stuck. You ever been there? I mean, you're stuck with anger. You don't seem to be able to get rid of this anger. You think, I got it resolved, and then all of a sudden you see that person. Or you're reminded of something, and all of a sudden, it comes back. That's what I'm talking about, being stuck. Or maybe there's bitterness. And, you know, see, these are things that we say, well, preacher, it's not a big deal. Nobody's perfect. But don't you want to clean house? Don't you want there to be cleanliness inside of here? And I believe Jesus said, I am the way out of that which grips you, and I'm the way into that which needs to grip you, which is God and holiness and righteousness and purity. You see, I don't want to live, I've shared this for years, I don't want to be a mean-spirited, overweight preacher. And you say, well, why do you say that? Because I know plenty of them. They've gotten meaner through the years, and I don't want to be that. I want more of Jesus to be in me. But I can't leave those things that cause me to get stuck. And Jesus, I am the way out. Take a moment. Write a response. Maybe it's something that he needs to be the door for you, the way out or the way in. I think everybody loves the next one, because we're so familiar with this. I am the good shepherd. He is the one who leads me. I love this. Think about Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many times a day do you say, I want, I need, I want, I need, I want, I need, I want, I need, I want, I need? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, he is my way to, he is my contentment. The good shepherd is my contentment. The good shepherd is my rest. He is my nourishment. He is my comfort. He is my safety. He is my relief. He is my peace. He is my joy. Now, when you read about the good shepherd, for some reason, or you hear a message about the good shepherd, I've done this myself, the focus is on the ignorant sheep. Usually that's where the focus is how dumb the sheep are. And but really, if you really want the correct context, the correct context is how great the good shepherd is. And then if you focus on how great the good shepherd is, and then as one of his sheep, you stay near the good shepherd, then suddenly your ignorance doesn't really matter, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, you comfort me. You see, you suddenly, it doesn't matter how ignorant we are, because I'm staying near him. And if you really want to know how much you need to stay him, then focus on how ignorant you are. When I was, I remember this almost like yesterday. This happened a few times in my life. When I was about 5 years old, I remember very clearly going with my mother to the grocery store. The grocery store we went to was not a super Walmart or one of these super duper Krogers or Kmarts or any of those things. It was the little tiny Mitchell's grocery store, and it was located just outside the main gate of Fort McPherson, right there where the V, you know where it was, right there where the V is, where Venetian and Camelton, Venetian Drive and Camelton Road came together. And right over here was a McDonald's, and right over here on Camelton was a Carrolls. How many of you remember Carrolls? Hamburgers. Okay. Very few old people. Carrolls didn't make it. If you haven't heard of McDonald's, we got problems. McDonald's did. But this little grocery store sat right here in the middle of this. And I would go with my mother every Friday to Mitchell's. And anybody ever been to Crooks down in Sonoya, to the little store down there? Okay. It was half the size of Crooks. Okay? Half the size of Crooks. They had three aisles. I got lost in there one day. I got separated from my mama. And I tell you, I remember, that's one of the few things I remember when I was out of age, is I was screaming for mama, 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 mama. And when she came around the next aisle, I go, oh, I'm safe again. There's mama. See, that's the way we are when we're not near the shepherd. I mean, from that point on, I did not want to get separated from my mama. Not in that big old grocery store that was so terrifying for a five-year-old. You see, God, you are my shepherd. You care for me. You guide me. You feed me. You comfort me. You provide all my needs. I don't want to be separate. Would you write a response here? You may have to finish it later. But take a moment to write how you respond to Jesus saying to you, Rayleigh, I am your good shepherd. My Patsy, I am your good shepherd. Then just a few weeks ago, we took off on Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you remember, we talked about the Jewish way of looking at a day. Remember Genesis? There was evening and the morning. And see, that's not what we think of morning and evening, day one. This was evening and morning, because the Jewish day went from disorder to order. It went from darkness to light. And that's the way God created everything, taking everything from disorder. Remember, everything was chaos. And then he moved it to order when he started creating things by his spoken word. And when God creates in us, he is telling us, I am leaving behind entropy. See, because everything has been winding down since the fall. It's been impacted by the laws of thermodynamics, where everything has been falling apart. But God has reversed it for us in Christ. So we know that people sometimes ask me, how are you doing? And I say, I'm doing great, but I'm getting better, but I will be better. And the reason I'll say I'm getting better is because of the promise of the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you've got the hope of the resurrection, and Jesus is the resurrection and the life, you say, hey man, what in the world? What the psalmist said, what can man do to me? I mean, there's only one way from here, and it's up, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can say, he is my source of life and the continuation of life beyond death. If you haven't already heard, and I was kind of hoping this wouldn't go public, but my wife made it public on Facebook the other night. She said, I hope you don't mind. I said, what can we do now? Friday evening, I had this terrible thing with vertigo. Good. Anybody had vertigo before? Whew, I don't ever want it again. Man, I'm telling you, I thought something really bad wrong with me. But I figured it out. We'd gone to eat dinner for my daughter-in-law's birthday with Chris and Lisa down in Sonoya. And I've been doing this thing, this intermittent fasting. That means I'll go 16 to 24 hours without eating anything, and then the window will open, and I'll eat for, you know, a little bit for 8 hours. Oh, well, I had planned it since I knew we were having this party. We're going to have pizza. We're going to have cookie cake. I'm saving up. So I hadn't eaten for about 20 hours, and we go down there, and man, I load up on pizza. I load up on the bread. I load up on a cheese dip. I load up on Coke, Sprite, sweet tea, and then to top it all off, about 5 big chunks of Publix cookie cake with lots and lots of icing. I want the ice. I want the piece that has loads of icing, you know. So it was Camden, our 2-year-old, and I just doing this. Ah, it's popping up. So when I got home, I mean, I was the what in the world? I've never had anything like this before. And so I went and took the dog out, came back, sat on the sofa to watch the rest of the Braves game. And then I was watching something. It wasn't a movie I'd started watching the day before. And then I get up to go let him back in, and suddenly, wow, heavens, what's going on? Room was spinning round and round and round and round and round. And I sit back down, and boy, then it was really spinning. Then I got up again and said, uh-oh, this is really, really bad. Really bad. I sat down and I told Sheila, I said, everything's spinning. Really bad. I said, and now I need to go to the bathroom. But I can't get up. So I said, I'm in trouble. I said, I cannot get up. So I said, she said, well, just try. She said, no, don't try. I said, yeah, I got. So I got on my hands and knees. I said, I can't do this. I said, get back in the chair real quick. I lay back down. I said, I'm fine. As long as I lay here, I'm fine. So she and Denise decide, we better call 911. Because I said, I can't go anywhere. And all of a sudden, the guys come in, you know, got all their stuff. So, well, you look okay. I said, well, I really, as long as I'm laying here, I feel fine. I said, I'm watching this movie. If you just let me finish watching the movie, everything would be good. And so he checked me out, and my blood sugar was fine. So that wasn't it. My heart was fine. That wasn't it. Everything was fine. So he said, well, we probably need to transport you to the hospital. I said, okay, this is going to be really fun. Never ridden an ambulance before. So they put me on that stretcher. And then, oh, boy, have you ever had this? Where they go, and here's the ceiling coming at me. I think, oh, my goodness, this is not what I need. The world is spinning, and now the ceiling's coming at me. Then they put me in the back of an ambulance, you know. That's awful. I don't ever want to do that again either. That was terrible. Because the more I said, I got to have something. I said, this isn't good. I said, you know, I'm nauseated now. I got to go to the bathroom, and you're killing me. But the good thing about it is I survived. I lived through it, and I'm preaching today from, you know, Friday evening. God is good. God is powerful. He is the healer. And, you know, I go in, and the doctor says, okay, do this, do this, do this, do this, all this stuff. I said, okay, I think you're okay. You got vertigo. And he said, now I'm going to have to stand you up because I got to see you walk. And I go, oh, this isn't going to be good. So I stand up. He set me up slowly. He said, keep looking at me, keep looking at me, keep looking at me, keep looking at me. And he said, put your feet on the floor. And I'm going, oh, no. And I said, oh, this is working. I said, I haven't stood up in 3 hours. So we start walking down the hall. He said, just keep walking. I go, there's a bathroom. That was it. So all is well. Resurrection and life. We have hope beyond the grave. I've told you before. One day I am going to die unless Jesus Christ comes back. My choice was not to die in my recliner at home. That wouldn't be a bad place. But my choice is to die right here in your presence, preaching the word of God. It will be a blessing to me. It will be traumatic for you, but I guarantee you will always remember it. The day the preacher died right in front of us all. So, not a good place for you to write your response to I am the resurrection and the life, but go ahead and try to give it a shot there. Make sure you write somewhere in there, Jesus is my hope of life beyond the grave, because I don't know about you, I'm not scared of death. It doesn't bother me one bit, not one bit. Okay, right, this is your turn. I have no more stories, okay, I'm finished. All right, Jesus said, next, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hey, listen, very simply, you cannot get to God any other way. That's just, not politically correct, not socially correct. It is biblically correct. I'll go with biblically correct over all the others, because Scripture says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Acts tells us that there's no other way to the Father except through Him. And so I'll go with that. Jesus says, I am the way. Is He your way? Is He your way to the Father that you said, this is it? I have no other way. I agree with Him. He's not only that, He is the truth that sets me free. You know, I've discovered that one of the greatest things you can do is learn more and more about the truth, and the truth is about God, because then you will know how to live, and then He is the life, God living in me. The Holy Spirit has come to live inside of me. God lives in me. He lives in me. If you're a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you. It is wonderful to acknowledge that we know all this stuff about God. But to me, one of the greatest things is He lives in me. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. My understanding, apart from Him, you don't have a life. If you don't have Him, you're trying to get a life. You're trying to make sense of life. You're trying to live a life that's just counterfeit Take a moment to write your response to Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then last, Jesus said, I am the true vine. He gave us this wonderful picture of a grapevine and the branches. And the branches cannot produce fruit. Branches bear fruit that's produced from the vine. It is the life flow. Jesus said, apart from me, cut that branch off, that branch will not bear fruit. But in the vine, that branch will bear fruit that's produced from the vine. Jesus said, you can't do this apart from me. Sometimes we're trying to produce, you can't. It comes by abiding. And my response to this is, he is the flow of fruit producing God life in me. He is the flow of God life that produces fruit in me. I can't do it. Take a moment to write a response to Jesus being the true vine. The choir sang a whole lot of I ams a minute ago. I would suggest, if you don't already have a journal, it'd be a good time to start. Get you a notebook or one of those college rule deals that's got the binding on it, and just start writing things down every day as you read. And try to write down every name of God and Jesus that you can find. And after you write it down, say, God, I want to agree with you. How do I personalize this? The most important one is Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He taught us that he was the Messiah, he was the Christ, he was the Savior of the world. Would you agree with him and say, Jesus, you're my Savior. You died on the cross for me. And right now I invite you to be my Savior. See, the most significant response of all is who you say Jesus is. Because Jesus claimed to be God. He claimed to be the Son of God. Scripture teaches that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Have you agreed with him about that? Can I make another suggestion? Try this every day. Take a name of God or Jesus and walk with it through the whole day. Jesus, you are my shepherd. And then just visit with it all day long. Just keep bringing it back up, thinking about how he's leading you, guiding you. You're close to him, and he's got this, and I can trust in him. Would you stand with me, please? As we come to the conclusion of our invitation, which is this prayer time. I want to invite you to come to the altar, to get on your knees, sit, stand, whatever is appropriate for you, and just visit with the Lord a little bit. Say, Jesus, thank you. My goodness. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being my light. Thank you for being my hope. Thank you for being my peace. Thank you for being my deliverer. On and on you could go. We could go for hours confessing him personally. But Pastor Paul and I will be down here at the front. Maybe God is leading you today that you need to come and confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. There was a young man in the first service that came and said, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior and Lord, and I want to follow him in believer's baptism. Maybe you need to do that today. Or maybe God is leading you to come and say, I need to make Harps Crossing Baptist Church my church home. I invite you to come and do that today. We will be standing here at the front. But right now, let's just turn this into an invitation prayer time in which we respond to God and what he has said to us. If you're watching by way of live stream, I invite you to join us in prayer and in this time of invitation.